The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're going to have the show live, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in the ACC. Yeah, they're still around, and David Hell covers that league, among other things, for ESPN. Mike Norvell getting a contract extension. It wasn't that long ago, then some people were wondering, would he survive? Well, he did more than that, and we'll talk to David about that as we say hello to David Hale right now. David, good to see you. And it did seem like yesterday, maybe it was 2 years ago, I really don't remember, that Norvell was off to a predictably bad start, just like his predecessor. So what happened?
Yeah, it seems like a lot has happened since there was maybe the only viral Twitter space in history of folks wanting to fire Mike Norvell on signing day a year plus ago. And now here we are. Look, this is, I think, a tribute to what a great job he's done again and again and again when he had reasons to be counted out. You know, his first year was the COVID 2020 season, and that was just mired in one problem after another. He inherited just an absolutely toxic locker room that he had to really tear down before he could rebuild. And then 2021 got off to that brutal 0-4 start, including, of course, everyone remembers the Jacksonville State game that they blew at the end, and he probably could have been fired then. And then, of course, you lose Travis Hunter in the recruiting sweepstakes to Deion Sanders, and that's a whole other thing. It has been one thing after another after another. Meanwhile, Mike Norvell has just gone back to work. And I think if you want to boil it down to one thing that has been the difference, I'm not sure there's a coach in America who has embraced and handled the transfer portal better than he has. You know, if these transfer rules aren't on the books at this time, I don't know how this would have turned out. He has been able to sort of inject some real life into the roster and some real leadership and chemistry onto the roster through bringing in talented veterans, from Jermaine Johnson from Georgia a couple of years ago to Jared Verse from Albany last year, and Fentrell Cypress this year from Virginia, I think could be one of the absolute steals of the transfer portal. So he has done, this contract is as much about what he has done in the transfer portal as what has happened on the field, because that's how he has rebuilt this football program.
David, a lot of people believe FSU is the team to dethrone Clemson and maybe make a run at the playoff. However, you look at the schedule, which you have to do in college football. They open with LSU. We know what happened a year ago. That game is in Orlando. Whether that makes any difference at all, I don't know. They're at Clemson, which already looks like the game of the year in the ACC. Couple of other games, I don't know, at Wake, at Pittsburgh, at Florida. You tell me, you're closer to that league than I am. Does Florida State get through this schedule and make it at least to the ACC championship game and maybe the playoffs?
Well, it's funny, I was just talking to somebody about this earlier today, about this like presumption that Clemson and Florida State are going to face off twice next year, once in September and once in December in Charlotte for the league championship. And I think back to when they first went to divisions within the ACC, and the whole idea was that Florida State and Miami would play in it every year, and that never happened. So getting rid of the divisions, I'm not sure if that actually sets this up as perfectly as people think. And frankly, look, Florida State, they won 10 games last year, and I don't want to dismiss that at all. But four of those wins, and in fact probably their four best wins, were all by single digits. There was some luck factor involved in this, and you know luck can swing from one year to the next. And of course, the other thing that I think is the biggest question here is a team that has been maligned so much really since the end of the 2016 season and going into 2017. Everybody remembers that brutal opener against Alabama in 2017. This has been a program that has been under a black cloud since then. And there's one thing to sort of fight against the power when everybody's telling you you can't do something, to get up and say, like, I'm the underdog that can do it. Well, now we're spending an entire offseason telling Florida State how great they are. And then that September, as you pointed out, you get LSU and Clemson before September's over. I wonder how focused they are throughout this offseason. I wonder how they go into the season. Do they still have the chip on their shoulder, or have they been reading their own headlines? To me, we'll know everything about Florida State by the end of the first month, but I think they got to be ready to hit the ground running.
Talking to David Hall, we had some comments the other day about Dabo's reaction to fans not being as excited anymore, and he reminded them how great Clemson has been. We all know that. You know that. Give us a state of the Clemson report here, knowing he made big changes in the offseason. He got brought in maybe one of the top coordinators in the country. Where are the Tigers right now?
It's fascinating because if you go back a year, he hired two internal candidates to fill his coordinator positions, and he doubled down on DJ Uiagalelei, even coming off of a really bad year as his quarterback. And I don't want to say he thumbed his nose at fans who were questioning this, but he did a pretty big job of saying, like, I'm right and you're wrong. I've earned the right to do it my way. And as the season played out, he was right a little bit. They were better last year than they had been the year before offensively. But I think quite obviously, you end up benching DJ Uiagalelei in the ACC championship game and turn it over to Cade Klubnik, and a lot of fans thought that should have happened sooner. And you eventually get rid of Brandon Streeter after just a year to turn to the next hot name in the coordinator ranks. A lot of this is sort of Dabo saying, well, I guess you were right and I was wrong, but he won't actually come out and say that. And so I think a big part of this is sort of a reset. And it is about him saying, like, man, we can't get tired of this because it is really hard. And I agree with him on this. It is really hard to stay at the top. That's why outside of Dabo and Saban, you don't have programs that are winning 10 games every year. But the fact is, if you win 10 games every year, 10 wins becomes less special. That is just life. That's what it is to be a human being. And Dabo, I think, internally understands that, but he's putting that was a message to be put out there, I think, as much to his own team and his own fan base to say, like, let's erase some of these expectations. Let's go in excited and start fresh and see what we can build here. I think he's made some right moves in the offseason, but I think there's still a lot of big questions to be answered.
David, finally, we hear or saw today that the Pac-12 commissioner, I'll try to say this without laughing, you know, tried to go incognito to a SMU basketball game. They're recruiting SMU, which nobody wanted, San Diego State, which I guess brings you, what, warm weather. Forget them for a second. The ACC, a lot of people were writing off after the expansion craziness of the past 2 years. Anything changing there? Is that league status quo or the natives still restless?
First off, I'm disappointed that George Kliavkoff didn't wear like the Bobby Valentine fake mustache. Like, at least put on the effort there. This is a great question. I've actually been, the ACC is holding their winter meetings right now in Charlotte, and talked to a few folks around there. One of the big topics has been revenue distribution. And at this point, everything is split up evenly between the 14 teams with a little slice off for Notre Dame outside of football. And there's a big conversation about, is there a different way to do this? How can we weight revenue distribution so that the teams that are competing at the top can continue to compete and maybe get a bigger slice of the pie? But a big part of that conversation too is, I think, is there teams that we can add to reopen the television contract that also aren't going to lessen the slices of the pie? If the big pie isn't getting any bigger, and you expand to more slices of it, everybody's getting a smaller slice. So they've got to find a way to both add to the number of slices, but also the size of the pie, if that makes any sense. And I don't think, as you point out, there's any teams out there that do that. There is no one that drastically moves the needle. And SMU offers you an entry point into Texas, which can maybe add a few dollars here and there because of the network, get you in for some recruiting purposes. There might be some ancillary value to teams like that. But big picture, it's Notre Dame or bust. And I think at this point, most people in the ACC would rather sort of wait out the storm and see what things look like in a couple of years than make a jump at a program that, I mean, frankly, the ACC's biggest problem is it has too many small private schools already. Adding another one like SMU makes no sense to me whatsoever beyond just, hey, it gets us into Texas.
Yeah, you get the 20 or 30 fans that will be watching SMU games. Hey, David, always great to have you here. We will see you soon, and enjoy covering those ACC meetings. I'd love to be a fly on the wall as they talk about their television situation.
Thanks, Paul.
You got it. David Hell joining us. Some fantastic guests already today. Your phone calls around the corner at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back. We continue with your phone calls here, and Bubba is up next. Hey, Bub.
Hey, Paul. There's three things I'm looking forward to on Alabama's defense this year.
Okay.
One of them is not to try to take the ball out of the hands of the receiver or the running back, but to lay wood on them and knock it out.
Okay.
How many times this year do we see running backs and wide receivers carrying 6 Alabama players for 20 yards while they're trying to take the ball out?
Right.
The other thing I like to see is not to put our arms around the waist of the receivers when we're defending them, because it gets called every time. I say use two hands to intercept the ball. The final thing is our inside linebackers would plug the hole and stand there waiting on the running back or receiver to come to them, and they get juked out and beat.
Well, what
or
I'll
else
say, Bob, I think with Kevin Steele, there's going to be the techniques are going to be a lot better. Pete Golden must have had something going for him to impress Nick Saban over these many years. Susie is up next in Georgia. Hey, Susie.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
We are well. Thank you.
That's good. I wanted to thank you for having Jalen Hurts' dad on yesterday and interviewing him. I was very impressed.
He was wonderful.
It
was really fun.
Well, you know what? Jalen's such a fine young man and a good role model for our young children, and you can see why by the interview with his dad, and I'm sure his mom is probably equally, if not more, impressive.
More.
You know how we mamas are. But I think one of the things I loved is when you were talking about when Jalen was pulled out of the game, Alabama's game, and the dad made the comment, and he said, I would have pulled him. You know, I was impressed with that. I mean, he's just, he must be a great coach. Where does he coach?
In Houston. Yeah, and think about that, Susie. Imagine you're the quarterback. You led your team the previous year to nearly the national championship. You lost in the championship game on the final play. You're the quarterback again, and you get pulled, and the other guy comes out and makes the greatest play in Alabama history, and it's your team. You have to be happy, but you also know you'll never start again at Alabama.
Oh, I know. Humility. The humility of his family. I think it's, you know, you don't want it to happen, but I think it made him a stronger person and player. You would feel crushed. You'd feel destroyed. He went to Oklahoma. And now Alabama wants some credit, you know, that he played at Alabama. And he's the Eagles quarterback. Well, sure he did, but what'd you do to him?
It's kind of bittersweet for Nick Saban, I'm sure. He wants to luxuriate in what Jalen is doing, but it's conflicted.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the game. I'm looking forward to the Kelce brothers' mom.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've decided if she's going to flip the coin. I hope they're going to let her. Because the coin toss, I think, would be cool.
She hasn't gotten enough TV time this week. I hope maybe somebody will interview her.
Oh, I know. Or Tom Brady. But her jersey, I'm hoping she has a jersey half and half, but I loved her comment when they said, who are you rooting for? She said, whoever has the ball,
That's rooting
for that side. And one more thing, the NIL list of callers, which, I know I will never be at the top of that list
or top 10
or whatever.
You might be on mine.
Oh, aren't you kind? But you know who needs to be on there?
Who's that?
Is Tammy.
That's
Tammy
true.
Needs to be recognized. People still think about her, and she made a strong, strong impression. And
it's really interesting, Susie, and clearly her loss, made a dramatic impact. But nobody in the history of the show has carried on a legacy like she has, and it is truly remarkable. Thank you so much for saying that. You be well, Coach Brad down in Destin. Good afternoon, Brad.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
Earlier today, somebody called and they were talking about the college schedule. You pretty much feel like that the SEC is going to go to a 9-game schedule. Is that right?
Well, I think so. Whether they want to or not, it is really one of the few ways to add value to the television package, and you can understand that very easily.
I agree with that. Well, with 9 games instead of the 8, obviously, you're going to have 5 homes and 4 away. And then the next year, it's going to reverse. You're going to have 4 home and 5 away.
Yeah, and you're right. And you talk about chaos. If you get the wrong road schedule, how that can impact you.
You were reading my mind. That's exactly right. Because with the 9 games, you only have 3 to play with. And so, it used to be those 3 would all be semi-gimme games where you would – you would have all of those at home. But now with the home-and-home schedule that everybody is looking for, do you know that theoretically you could only have 6 home games?
Yeah, no, Brad, I never thought about that until you just mentioned it. If you have one of those Penn State, Notre Dame, Nebraska, whatever it is, and you come on the short end of the stick, that's the bad news. The good news is you have a 12-game playoff, so it will increase your odds, even if you've already blown the season.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was going to ask you about is on the permanent opponent that you have.
Right.
Everybody thinks that, if it's Alabama, we'll probably have Auburn and Tennessee, and then it would either be, what do you think, Mississippi State or LSU?
Yeah.
As the third one?
For Alabama?
Yeah.
So you definitely have Auburn. I think it will be Auburn and Tennessee. No, it can't. Here's where it gets complicated, though, because you can't overdo it. So I don't think LSU will be part of it.
Okay. Well, the one that is puzzling is Tennessee. Because if Tennessee has Alabama – and, their in-state rivals is Vandy.
Yeah.
So that, okay, what about the other two would be Georgia or Florida?
Yeah, I mean, I've had people, friends of mine that have been in that room, and they say it's one of the most complex things that they've ever done, and they're still not there yet, because every time you think you have it figured out, then you go, well, what about Florida? They have to play Georgia.
And, there you go.
And who else do they have to play? Tennessee's their second
LSU.
Biggest rival. They will not play LSU. I'm willing to bet, Brad, that game is gone. So I've never heard more complaining about a game in my life.
And you've got the 4 that's in the East right now that have the out-of-conference rivalry. You've got Kentucky that has U of L has Louisville.
Right.
South Carolina's got Clemson. Florida's got Florida State. And then you got Georgia with Georgia Tech.
Correct.
So, you know, if you, like you said, or we were saying earlier, if you draw the short straw and you have one of those years where you only have four home games in the conference and then your big rivalry, you have to go on the road with that one, then that only leaves you two games, and that's going to hurt the value of the, you know, of the people that buy the tickets.
I tell you what, we talk about dramatic things that are ahead. The moment that however they reveal that conference schedule, that is going to be one controversial afternoon.
That is correct. Thank you, Paul, for your time.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine the reveal of that, and you find out you're Tennessee, and you find out you got to play Alabama in Florida every year. It is going to be one of the most fiery. It's already a debate internally. The athletic directors met last week. I think the coaches are meeting either this week or next week. That's really a complex situation to figure out. Cunningham is in Florida. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
I heard you folks talking a little while ago about limits on numbers of kids that could be recruited.
Right.
And so I'm old enough to go back and remember most of these limits, and I'll get close with them. And so, of course, after World War II in 1945, when that was over, you didn't have any limits because you had kids graduating from school and then all the kids coming back from the service. And you had just gangs of them. And so I don't know if some of us old folks can remember how many old football players. There was a family named Poole, P-O-L-L-E, from Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
They came They'd all been in the service. And so a lot of folks remember that. But I came along about that time, and there were no limits until 53. And the way they did the limit then was to stop platooning. In other words, they started with you could start a quarter, but when you went out, you could go back in if you started. But if you were a substitute and you went in to replace the starter, and then you went back out, you were dead. So it killed two platoon, or it killed offensive and defensive platooning. And later on, while they began to liberalize that a little bit and let the quarterbacks change, but those times went on. And now in the late 50s, they started putting limits on the numbers. There were no limits until in the late 50s, and I think the first time they ever limited it, they limited teams to 40 freshmen. And so you could bring in 40 freshmen, and then I remember dropping to 35 and 30, and then later on, you know, 25 is the limit now, I think, or it was two or three years ago, 25 right. freshmen and 85 on the groupings there. So those were the limits. And I remember it was 67 when they threw out they let you start back to platooning, having unlimited substitution.
Thank you, because I really was completely unaware of that. I had no idea how and why there was the numbers were where they were. Hey, thank you for the call. Great conversation there. We're up against a break. A couple more guests remaining. We'll talk about the financial news coming out of the SEC a little bit later on with a reporter from USA Today. Your phone calls around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, welcome back. Kyle is up next in Augusta. You are on the air. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing, Fireball?
Hey there.
All right, I just got in kind of late. You know, I'm kind of late to the show today, but I called a little bit about the Jalen Hurts thing with Oklahoma and Alabama trying to claim, you know, his success.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I remember that game, you know, beating up on my Georgia Bulldogs with that lucky Hail Mary, you know. Look, but anyway, that might have been a good thing for Jalen Hurts, you know, hooking up in Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley, you know, getting them pro ready. That might have been a good thing for him.
Let's remember one thing here, and I think I realize not everyone has forgotten this, but he stayed at Alabama another year, and he competed with Tagovailoa. He came in and really won the SEC championship game, as you remember, against Georgia. And then he left his final year. He went to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I must have been drinking.
We all were.
Yeah, but I wanted to comment on that. But another thing I wanted to really comment on, I've been trying to get in for the past couple of weeks. This conversation had died down a little bit. But I'm here right here in Augusta, Georgia, right on Savannah River, about 5-minute walk from South Carolina. And this ain't people Bowl is for real. Firsthand and up close and personal, and it ain't up for February. You understand what I'm saying? But you South Carolina Gamecocks fans, they're crazy around here.
Well, yeah, I mean, Augusta is on the South Carolina border, so I guess you do run into a few of them, don't you?
Yeah, I stand right on the river walk on the Georgia side, and you see those South Carolina Bounders, they get drunk throwing beer cans all in the river. It's floating across on our side, and we got to clean all that stuff up while they're looking at us screaming Shane Beamer Bowl. I've been warning people about this for years.
Well, that, I mean, they are feeling pretty good right now, Kyle. I agree with you.
And then it frustrated me so bad, I started back drinking.
Well, what are you drinking these days?
I went back to drinking Seagram Gin. That's how bad it is with these Beamer Bowl fans around here.
That's serious stuff there. We need to wean you back.
We're going to need some help around here. You might have to call somebody to come and help us.
Kyle, don't lose your cool with a Gamecock fan. It's really not worth it.
Yeah. You know that guy that answered the phone, the one that put people through? I don't know what his name is, but he's pretty cool, though. I told him what it was a couple of weeks ago when he took my call. He started laughing.
Yeah, I don't know which one talked to you, but we have some pretty cool folks working here.
Yeah, I like the show, man. Like I said, I got in kind of late today. I was surprised I got in, you know, I don't hardly get in on the show.
Well, Kyle, I'm glad you got in. We needed a little spice, and you have brought that to us this afternoon.
I hope so. If I get a chance to get in later on sometime in the future, I'm going to talk a whole lot more trade.
Kyle, I like what I'm hearing. You definitely call back in. You take care of yourself. Thanks so much for calling. Trey is in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Paul, there's something else a lot of things I don't think people realize about Jalen is he wanted to go to Miami or Maryland, and Saban is the one that convinced him to go to Oklahoma. So I think that needs to be considered because he thought that that would be the best fit for Jalen. But, Paul, it's Iron Bowl weekend for basketball, and College Game Day is going to be there. I think this is going to be one of the toughest environments Alabama has played in all year because that Bruce Pearl gets that place rocking. And I see Alabama's a 4.5-point favorite. I want to know what you think about the game this weekend. And then they got Tennessee coming up. So a tough stretch for Alabama. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Trey, I mean, I really haven't thought too much about it. You're right about the environment, though. I mean, Auburn's got a really good team. They've dropped a couple of games, but they have been tough games. I mean, losing at A&M and losing at Tennessee, certainly no disgrace. We'll talk more about that Friday. I'm just not sure. Jesse is in Nashville right now. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Paul. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great. Thank you.
Oh, man, I'm so glad to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Golly, all right, let me start off. You are a good listener, and you have a way of dismissing idiots without being crude. I think that's an acquired talent.
Well, thank you. I've got a lot of experience at talking to people like that.
That's what I thought. You picked it up over the years. Okay, I've got just a myriad of stuff I want to go across with you.
Okay.
Number one, if there's an afterlife and I get my way, I hope to sit at a table and have a beer with you and Louis Brizard.
Oh, man. Well, right now you can still do it with me, but it would be difficult.
Oh, my God, I'd love to. I told your guy that answered. I said, I'd rather just talk to Paul. I don't have to be on.
You know, Jesse, I'm
almost 74 years old. I'm a retired firefighter.
Oh, my goodness.
I've lived all my life in Nashville, Tennessee, except for 2 years. And, yes, I've inherited the Commodore curse.
Well, hey, Jesse, let me tell you quickly. I didn't know Louis well, but I was around him a couple of times. And he was everything that you thought he was. I mean, he was really one of the most entertaining people I've ever met. And I miss him.
I loved every word he ever wrote.
Yeah, no, he was the best. And I just I regret that he's gone because we would be abusing him for interviews every day.
What about him? When he got to leave Chicago, I know you know this. They got him a job as a sports editor at the Chicago Tribune or Sun Tribune or whatever.
Yeah, exactly right.
He said the only two words I ever enjoyed saying in Chicago was when I bought my ticket back to Atlanta. He said, one way.
That's correct.
Was it Bisher, sports editor of the Constitution? Yeah. But long story short,
the funny line, I can't remember what the story was. He got stuck. He was in Russia. Do you remember this story?
Somewhere over either
Russia or England. I can't remember. And he had to have heart surgery right in the middle of the football season. Yeah. He tried to tell the doctor, I've got to go back. I can't miss the season.
Yeah. He came up. Just all about him. I know his whole family. All right, I got to get away from him now. You and he and I, if I get my way, we'll be sitting around one day.
Well, I can tell you, if we do, we'll let Louis pick it up.
Well, hey, we'll just sit and listen in all. You're right, my friend. Okay, real quick, Kirby Smart.
Okay.
His first year, there was a big fight about kicking Mark Richt out, and he got the job, and you know he was young and blah 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 blah. Well, the first year, the poor old Commodores, one had slipped through the net, a linebacker, Zach Cunningham, he's still playing. But Vandy was Georgia's homecoming opponent, and Vandy beat him. Zach Cunningham made a play in the last minute of the game. Vandy beat Georgia by 2 points.
Well, I didn't realize
Georgia
that.
Was driving to kick a winning field goal, and Zach Cunningham jumped over four people and stopped somebody on fourth and one. And I remember telling my son, I said, I don't know if this guy's going to last too long.
Yeah, that was a tough season. He went 7-5,
year.
I think.
Yeah. All right, let's move. That's all I know about how to pick coaches. Now let's move on to the Bear Bryant story. You're going to love this one.
Okay.
I was a firefighter in Nashville in the little small ballpark, Dudley Stadium. They still call it that. That's what it was. They would let us in the corner of the end zone if we wore our uniforms. And, of course, you couldn't really see the game. You had to measure how many steps somebody took to know how many yards they made. But, hey, it was getting in. And, they had some decent teams back then. And the big – long story short, Alabama was there. And the visiting dressing room was under the west side stands, and they had to run through that little corner they let us in. So when they had a couple of security people, said, all right, you guys let the football player through. And, now, babe, they were big, strong, snorting guys coming out. Bear Bryant, for some reason, the team's out warming up, and he's just standing there beside somebody, just kind of gazing out over the field, and he was, I don't know, 15 feet from me. Well, that particular time of the year, Auburn and Alabama were big rivals. I think they'd had the Bama punt game had already happened, and earlier in the day, Auburn had played Tennessee, UT, and I think Tennessee had beaten them. So I said, "Hey, Bear," and he turned. He looked at me. I said, "What happened to your boy Shug today in Knoxville?" I said, "What happened to your boy Shug today?" And he looked at me and said, "Who'd they play?" like he knew who it was. Like,
of course he
"Hey,
did.
Don't bother me, punk. You know, who'd they play?"
And, he knew everything. Well, Jesse, what a pleasure to visit with you. I can't wait to connect one of these days soon. We'll take a break here. We're up against a break, as we always are at this time of the day, and we'll be right back with more of the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, closing out the third hour of our program on a Thursday afternoon, and Squirrel is up next.
Appreciate you taking my call today. And, you know, I'm a loyal listener, and I've been listening the past few weeks, and I'm just shocked at the number of callers who are asking you for compliments, NIL deals, I mean, asking to be ranked. I mean, you need to explain to them that you got to earn some scars, you know, before those type things come that quick. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, there are a couple of guys that I'm no names mentioned, of course.
I didn't mention any names.
Yeah, but who are on the entitlement express train.
Yeah, you've got to earn whatever you get. Not to say you're going to get anything, you know what I mean? But, you know, let's go back. You remember last year when I had the idea for the Feinbaum Big Brother house?
Yes, I remember it well.
We, you know, I already had it figured out, leasing that condo in Orange Beach, and the food budget, alcohol budget, salaries. You know, you pay your top three leg humpers, what do we say, 200 grand a week.
Right.
And us commoners, 100 grand a week. And
a lot of money.
I think that was a good idea. It's not a lot of money. You sell subscriptions, Paul.
Okay.
And you mic us up and give them 24/7 access, you know, okay. Cameras everywhere.
I hear you.
And you pick the 10 people you want to put in there. And, you know, like I said, I think you come up with the 10 ones that make the best combination, the most entertaining combination.
Yeah, no, I think doing it that way, I forgot about that. We can make the money back.
That was a great, yes, we could. I told you, man, we already made a profit. You don't take me serious. And speaking of leg humpers, AJ, you know, also known as the Tell City Village Idiot, man, I've never seen a self promoter like this cat.
He's
DMing me on Twitter, telling me to come after him and all
this
kind of stuff. I mean, once again, you got to earn your scars. You know what I mean? And you can't just go. You know, when you're walking through the jungle, like I said, you can't go paying attention to every monkey chattering up at the tree. You know, you just have to ignore 90% of them, and he's in that 90% right
now. No, when some of the veterans come in and they get out of hand, I mean, I at least excuse that. I mean, they have been here before. This guy, he walked in.
I've been waiting for somebody to jump on him and give him a phone cue beat down, and if somebody don't do it quick, then I'm going to do it. But do me a favor, assuming I make the caller bracket this year, put me and him in the first bracket.
Yeah, no. By the way, I started thinking about that. We're not that far. We're never that far away from.
Oh no, it's coming up. You know, so.
As you know, Squirrel, it's done arbitrarily from a blind draw, but we'll make sure we get you in his division.
I appreciate that. Thanks for taking my call. Hello.
You can count on that. First round. No holds barred. When did we do that? Was that in the summertime last year? Oh, is that right? Okay, yeah. The caller bracket is around the NCAA tournament, so we're not that far from that. And then the Hall of Fame is in the summer. I didn't realize we're pretty close. We're getting very close. Steve Berkowitz around the corner. He'll join us at the top of the next hour to give us the latest on how much money the SEC is making. If you're betting a lot, you win the prize.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.